Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Memo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
Not much, man. Just glad to be on the show, doing the show with you, as always.
Yes, likewise.
And I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out another episode of Sports Urban Legend. We're going to talk a lot of, you know, various different type of topics in the world of sports and entertainment. We're gonna lead off with baseball news. Manny Machado is officially a San Diego Padre. I'll give you my thoughts on that. Bryce Harper is, as of right now, still a free agent after he met with the Phillies owner. We'll also talk about the Jussie Smollett story. We'll also talk about, the NBA and basically the best week in Kofi Kingston's career as of right now. And my thoughts on, Elimination Chamber and his upcoming Fastlane match. But, of course, most importantly, we'd love to hear from you. And the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to, let your voices be heard on any of these topics. Without further ado, let's talk about Manny Machado. And, basically it was a foregone conclusion that, by hook or by crook, he'd be a Yankee because, he would most likely take a pay cut to come to the Yankees, but you know the name of the game in sports. You give the most money, the player's gonna most time than not gonna come on your team. And he signed with the Padres. I mean, the Yankees, they allegedly gave him an offer. I mean, that was less than obviously the Padres signing, which is a historic deal. 10 years, $300 million. That's the most a free agent ever gotten. I mean, it pales in comparison to the 13 years, $225 million contract that the Marlins signed Giancarlo Stanton to. And then, of course, in typical Miami Marlins fashion Florida Marlins fashion, after they sign a big fish, they trade him away. And he got traded to the Yankees, where he had Stanton had a off year. And when you think about this off year, he still hit 37 home runs and knocked in 100 RBI. So, I mean, you'd sign up for an off year like that. I mean, the guy didn't hit 59 home runs like he did the year previously, when he was with the Marlins in 2017. But he still had a good year. But in that case, like I was saying two years ago, the Yankees didn't need Giancarlo Stanton because their lineup is pretty much stacked. They just need to hit better in the postseason. And the same case here with Manny Machado. Yankees didn't need Manny Machado. They got a stacked offense. And besides, they really didn't need him. I mean, Didi Gregorius should be coming back, healthy, soon. And they really didn't need to make that signing. Not to mention Manny Machado admitted during the World Series that, he doesn't hustle all the time. So that wouldn't be a good look in pinstripes or in orange and blue with the Mets. So, he made the move that was right for him, and he's gonna be the face of the Padres. And the rumors are that Bryce Harper might join him in San Diego, which, I mean, I strongly doubt that, but I'll dive into that after I hear your thoughts, Mac. What do you think about the whole Manny Machado situation?
Well, you know, I never bought into the idea that he's going to come into the Yankees. I mean, the Yankees really wanted Manny Machado. They would have got Manny Machado.
True.
You know, he would have got that contract or more for the Yankees, because Yankees have money that they could spend.
True.
So
very true.
They could have gave him that contract. So it proves that they weren't highly invested in him from the beginning. And, you know, rightfully so. I mean, they have a young infield that's set. You know, they have Torres, they have Andujar. Yeah, I mean, Didi's injured right now, but, you know, they got
mm-hmm. –
once they got Troy Tulowitzki and what's the other guy?
DJ LeMahieu, not to be a confused, we'll call him Matthew.
Yeah, I mean, once they got those guys, it proved that they didn't care if they got Manny Machado or not. So I never really bought into the idea, and I actually thought he was going to go to the Phillies. But it looks like now Harper might be going to the Phillies, possibly. So, but yeah, I was stunned that he went to the Padres. I mean, the Padres was one of the last teams I thought he would go to. But Padres, they had money, and he signed with them. And now, hopefully, you know, he's going to give them some added offense to that team. I'm not very familiar with the Padres team, but were they that good last year? Were they any good?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, I'd have to check. I mean, I'd have to check, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But yeah, I was surprised he went there too. But you know, like that 90s Chris Tucker Charlie Sheen movie, Money Talks, and
yeah.
You know, that's why he signed with them. He has the biggest contract of a free agent until Bryce Harper most likely signs, and he most likely is going to be with the Phillies. You know,
yeah.
The Phillies are really going in on Bryce Harper. It's going to be a huge slap in the face if he rejects them, because there's rumors that he has concerns of signing with Philadelphia. But literally yesterday, the Phillies owner flew a plane to meet Bryce Harper in his hometown, Las Vegas, just to try to convince him to sign. And as of right now, Harper hasn't signed with them. And that same owner allegedly said that he's willing to pay stupid money for Manny Machado or Bryce Harper.
Wow.
And the rumor was that they were more interested in Manny Machado than Bryce Harper. So now that Manny Machado, signed, you know, with the Padres, you know, now they're really going all in on Philly, on Bryce Harper. And it makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's perfect, you know. It's perfect for them to go after him, because they kill two birds with one stone. One, you get a middle-of-the-order guy, and two, you steal him away from your division rival.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I give credit to Phillies owner John Middleton. You know, he's really going all out, you know.
He's trying to win it.
To try to win and get Bryce Harper back. I mean, they got a good young team. And, you know, Gabe Kapler, he had a good season with the team. So, you know, they start off poorly in the first half. And then they turned it around in the second half, which is unfortunately the exact opposite of the Mets. You know, in April they played well, then they had May and June where they were horrible, and then in the second half they started to, you know, the Mets started to play well in August and September, but the Phillies are really trying to make them surpass the Braves and try to take this division. And the Nationals owner, Mark Lerner, basically removed himself from going after, in contention of re-signing Bryce Harper. But to be honest with you, until he signs on the dotted line, he could be going anywhere. You know what I'm saying? So, and there's even a bigger rumor that he might sign with the Padres, which I don't see it happening. I mean, he might sign with the Giants, you know, but I think most likely he's gonna sign with the Phillies. Even though right now the signs are pointing to him like, okay, the Phillies are giving him stupid money, so why don't he sign it? So, I mean, it could go either way, to be honest with you. But I wouldn't be surprised if he signs with the Phillies. I would be shocked if he doesn't sign with the Phillies because, you know, that with that ballpark, other than, you know, the Yankee Stadium, I mean, he's tailor-made for that ballpark. So I'd be surprised if he leaves the East Coast, you know, and signs with the Giants or the Padres. And even the White Sox was interested in him. And, you know, Ken Williams, he was shocked that Machado signed with the Padres. So essentially he's out of the Bryce Harper sweepstakes also. So yeah, we're all waiting to see any day now where Bryce Harper signs. But yeah, this NL East is going to be a tough division. I like the moves that the Mets made. You know, they made a lot of improvements, but the whole question is it going to be enough to take the NL East? Because the Nationals, the Braves, the Phillies, you know, they're all tough customers. So, you know, we're gonna see soon enough, you know, what the Mets are going to do. And you look at Dallas Keuchel, Craig Kimbrell, who's still a free agent right now as we speak. And, you know, I would love to see Mets sign him as a fifth starter to solidify that bullpen, which is, the starting rotation, because obviously historically with the Mets, the pitching is always their calling card, you know. And if they sign Keuchel and he could bounce back to what he was a few years ago, you know, they won't have any weakest links on the pitching side. So hopefully the Mets will sign him, but most likely he's going to either sign with the Phillies or the Braves, or maybe, you know, who knows, maybe even the Yankees, but I doubt it. But until he signs under that line, we'll see what happens with that. And then on the Kimbrough side, now there's rumors that he might sit out the whole year instead of taking a contract that, you know, that's belittling to him. So I definitely see him signing with the Phillies, to be honest with you, or returning to the Braves. So that's another thing to keep your eye out on.
I think both Kimbrell and Harper go to the Phillies. And right now, it's looking like Phillies can land Harper. I mean, there was rumors weeks ago that Harper already had a verbal agreement with the Phillies. So, you know, I think they're going to sign him soon. You know, and the contract might even surpass Machado. Another insane contract. So,
I think to be honest with you, I think Bryce Harper's contract is going to be 10 years, $326 million. Just so you could get an extra million more than what Giancarlo Stanton signed in that 13-year $325 million contract he signed with the Marlins before he was, of course, traded to the Yankees. So
yeah, that's going to be an insane contract.
That's my prediction right there.
That's going to be an insane contract.
I'd love to see Bryce Harper leave the NL East. I mean, he's not coming to the Mets, so good riddance to him. Let him go someplace else. But, hey, if he's going to stay in the NL East, come with the Phillies or Nationals, or I doubt the Braves, but, you know, hey, bring it on, you know, like Brody Van Wagenen said, you know, come and get us. So it is what it is. It's out of our control.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the way it is. And the Mets won their first spring training game. Pete Alonso, formerly known as Peter Alonso, hit his first home run of spring training. So the Mets are looking to improve their offense and try to be a situational hitting team, and especially with runners in scoring position, instead of trying to wait for the three run home run like, you know, a stereotypical American League team. So you know, with Chili Davis, you know, changing the culture offensively, you know, the Mets should they should be a lot better offensively, because they couldn't get any worse than they were last year for runners in scoring position. So we'll see what happens with the Mets.
Did Robbie Cano play today?
I'm not sure if he played. I didn't see the whole game. Let me see if he played. Yes, he got his first base hit. He went 1-for-3 today. I think I might have saw that part, to be honest with you, because I did see him hit, and then I saw Conforto hit a ball up the middle that he was, you know, he had an infield hit. I think it was back to back. Memory serves me right.
Okay.
But yeah, Mets won 4-3. I mean, one win and 162 regular season games to go in March 28th. So, at the end of the game, the day, as long as they stay healthy and, you know, the right 25 guys on the team make it, you know, the best 25 guys make it on the team. That's all that matters. So, you know, we'll see what happened with that. But, let's shift gears on a more serious story. And, of course, we're talking about the biggest story in entertainment news right now. And, of course, you know, we're talking about the Jussie Smollett story. And, man, what a tangle web we weave, man. Like, you know, when I first heard this story, you know, I was shocked that happened to him. I mean, we live in a world where there's a lot of bigotry of all sorts. So, I mean, it's not that surprising something like that could have happened. But, you know, once you peel the layers of the story, it became unfortunately evident that he made up this whole story. Question you'd want to ask, the number one question that pops in my mind and a lot of people's mind is, why would he do it? I mean, you know, he was very popular on the show. And, you know, the rumors is that, you know, he did it for attention and he wanted to get a pay increase because allegedly he made $100,000 per episode. And he feared that his character was going to be taken off the show. So he allegedly came up with this story to get sympathy and to secure his spot on the show. And it's crazy. I mean who would have thought he would have made a story up like that? I mean, he literally had nothing to gain from this story. I mean, there's enough bigotry and racism, you know, of all kinds already without you making it up. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it was just a crazy and messed up situation, man. What's your thoughts on the whole situation?
Man, this story is disgusting. Literally and figuratively. This story, the dude had a following from his show, Empire. And he had fans supporting you, backing you, because they thought this story was actually happened. It was legit. And then we find out weeks later that he staged the whole thing. He hired those two Nigerian guys that he was buddy buddies with, and did this all for what? To unhappiness with his salary and attention? I mean, those police officers then wasted their time on this case, spent hours and hours looking into this. They could have spent their time on another case that was needed.
Absolutely.
So this dude wasted valuable manpower, wasted valuable time, taxpayers' money into BS, and he's still in denial about it. He hasn't apologized. He's not remorseful about what he did, and he's hiding right now. You know, on social media, you don't even see a new post since like from 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. You know, he hasn't posted since. Coward for that, and a troll for tricking us all.
And like I said on my show, this dude needs to go to jail, go to prison, drop the soap and like it, and get it real hard in the anus.
Oh, my goodness.
Harder than he's ever had it.
Okay, now you're good. Going too far.
And I mean it.
But I mean, it's crazy, man. I mean, it's crazy that he would think of coming up with a crazy story like that, man. I mean, you know, now his biggest fear is gonna come true because they're taking him out of the show. They're removing him from scenes, and his career is basically done because, you know, his word isn't good anymore. Like he was allegedly saying before that he had death threats and had, you know, hate mail, which I mean, obviously, I mean, generally speaking, I mean, it's understandable when you're in the limelight and you're very popular, there's going to be some people hating on you. But I mean, now that he lied, he has no credibility now. So how do we know he didn't make that story up too?
Yeah.
And another thing like that made me like question his story like a few days ago was that basically, you know, there was rumors early on that he had a broken ribs. And then afterwards, when he did the concert, like shortly after the incident, you know, he looked fine. You know, he did look like he had no injuries whatsoever. And he's like whining and grinding, and he's supposed to have a broken ribs. And then, you know, he did the interview with Robin Roberts, where he basically said that he didn't have broken ribs. And then, you know, the whole story with, you know, the alleged attackers, you know, wearing a mask and allegedly also wearing a MAGA hat on top of the mask. And, you know, it was just a crazy story, man. And people trust him. I'm like, there's a bunch of memes on him. Like, so she's a Tyra Banks. We trust in you. You know, it's like that basically, you know, symbolizes what, you know, how we feel, you know, like people who trusted, believed it took his word, you know, that he was a victim. You know, now people,
he's a suspect,
you know, yeah, you know, because generally speaking, when people are in a situation like that, you want to take that word for it, you know, before you get the facts, you know, so you can hear them out and let them feel comfortable that they could share their story. But him now, because of this, you know, people are going to be a little looking side eye for stories like this. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's messed up. I mean, obviously, like I said in the beginning, like, there's enough bigotry, you know, homophobia, racism, you know, misogyny, and all those type of bigotry that's going on in this world to begin with, that you don't need to be faking storylines like this for attention. So, I mean, it's messed up. Now he's going to have to deal with that. You know, and I feel sorry for the people who still believe that he's telling the truth. I mean, like the saying goes, he's innocent until proven guilty. So we'll see when the facts fall. So,
yeah,
I mean,
this
it's
is
just
gonna,
a horrible way to end your a very promising career.
This is going to do the opposite of what he wanted. He's going to lose fans. He's going to lose money.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to lose exposure. Celebrity
yeah.
status, you know, and time away from the sanity because he didn't go to jail.
Exactly. And then another thing, you know, he had a very popular character, like, you know, along with, you know, Taraji P. Henson's Cookie character and Terrence Howard's character on the show. Like, I mean, he was a very popular character on the show. So, you know, who knows? His character could have had a spinoff. But, you know, that's down the drain because of what he did, you know. And then apparently he, you know, after the attack, he, you know, he had bleach and he was, you know, on the news. And apparently he ate a sandwich even though he had bleach on his face from the attack. It's just an insane story. And
let me ask you a question.
You know, yes, I'm listening.
If, let's say they kick him off the show.
Mm-hmm.
And they need a gay character, and they give you a phone call. Like, Will, we'd like you to play this gay character on Empire. What would you say?
Well, first of all, I'm not an actor, So most people aren't actors, you know. Well, what would you do?
Should I take the role? If he was making $100,000 an episode, hell yeah.
Shoot. Well, there you go. You got your replacement right here, folks.
Yeah, man.
Sign me.
Show me the money.
But all seriousness, you know, just a messed up way to end, you know, to mess up a career like that. But it is what it is, you know. Let's see. I mean, we'll see if he admits it or, you know, he's going to deny it. But, you know, it's just a sad end to a career. But, yeah, we'll see what happens with that, man. But, you know, switching gears, you know, let's talk WWE, the Elimination Chamber. And, yeah, man, the pay-per-view was all right. I mean, it had some great matches. I mean, I liked the Divas Elimination Chamber tag team match. That's what started off the show. I mean, you know, the regular show. And of course, you know, the Boston Hug Connection, Bayley and Sasha Banks, they defeated Carmella and Naomi, Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, Nia Jax and Tamina, Iconics, and the Wyatt Squad. And, you know, it was a pretty good match, you know, and the question is, what are they going to do with the women's tag team titles, you know? Are they, because there's rumors they're going to defend it everywhere. They're going to defend it on NXT, Raw, and SmackDown. So it's definitely going to have a lot more prestige than the Universal title right now, because Brock Lesnar hardly defends the title as we speak. So, I mean, we'll see what happens.
Major pay-per-view.
I'll repeat that.
Yeah, he defends it every major pay-per-view.
Yeah, basically.
Like
but
every
yeah.
3 months.
Yep. Exactly. And yeah, that's basically was wrong on that pick from last week. You know, I thought Naomi and Nia Jax and Tamina would win it. But you know, they basically, once Nia Jax crashed into the Elimination Chamber pod, you know, that basically took her out of the equation. And once I saw that happen, I knew they were gonna get eliminated because they rightfully jumped Tamina, and that basically ended their chances of getting the title. I'm trying to think what else happened.
I thought in the female tag team match, Iconics was definitely going to win it, but, man, Iconics didn't stand a chance in that match.
Yeah, I mean, they did defeat Carmella and Naomi for the first elimination before they got eliminated. But I think
yep.
Naomi and Tamina, I mean, by Tamina and Nia Jax, if my memory serves me right.
Yeah.
Well, it was a good match.
Sasha,
man, you know.
Sasha and Bayley would have been my second pick. I for some reason I didn't think of that. I don't know why.
What happened?
Sasha and Bayley would have been my second pick. I don't know why I didn't think of them as winners before.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was a possibility since they're very popular, but I thought they would definitely have like a, you know, heel tag team. But they threw the fans a bone and made the Boston Hog Connection become the inaugural tag team champion. So,
yeah.
Congratulations to the ladies.
Congrats.
And then let me see what Buddy Murphy defeated Tozawa. You were correct about that. I was wrong. I thought Tozawa would win the title there.
Mm-hmm.
And then WWE did the right thing with the Usos. Defeating The Miz and Shane. As I said, you know, it would have been realistic for the Usos to win. And there's rumors that Usos might be on their way out, you know, because all Elite Wrestling, man, they're giving WWE stiff competition, you know, and a lot of people are leaving rumored to be leaving WWE. Dean Ambrose, Ty Dillinger got his WWE granted his request with the release. They released Arn Anderson backstage. I'm trying to think who else. There's rumors that the Revival might leave, so WWE put the title on them. Trying to think. Who else was rumored to leave? Maria Kanellis and her husband, Mike, are rumored to be leaving. A lot of people who they put the title on recently are basically they've won the title recently.
Wow.
So it looks like WWE is very scared of losing their talent that they're not using properly.
WWE has to fix that, man. Can't be losing these many talented people.
Yep.
Give them a chance.
Absolutely. And then, of course, we're going to dive into the call-ups that they did on Raw and SmackDown momentarily. Let me see. Finn Balor defeated Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush for the Intercontinental title. And, of course, at the end of the match, Bobby Lashley attacked Leo Rush. And then on Raw, they joined forces again. So it's like nothing ever happened, you know.
With no explanation.
With no explanation. And then, of course, then Baron Corbin defeated Braun Strowman with Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley joining forces with Baron Corbin again for the first time in, like, what, a few months ago? With no explanation there. So
that's weird.
Braun Strowman and Baron Corbin fought each other for the 1 millionth time in the past 2 months that they've had. And this was basically a Raw match. And I mean, and I don't mean that in a polite way. This is not Monday Night Raw from, you know, back in the Attitude Era when the DX, you know, were running the shots, which, you know, congratulations to them. The entire DX crew is finally going in. You know, well-deserved honor for Triple H, Shawn Michaels, who is now a two-time Hall of Famer, New Age Outlaws, Billy Gunn and Road Dogg, X-Pac, and then now China is going in posthumously. So, long overdue.
Yeah, it's about time.
Congratulations to all of them.
Congrats.
Yeah, it's messed up that they buried the hatchet with China after she died.
Yeah.
That's another thing, but now she's finally going in. Similar to what they did with Macho Man.
Right,
So it's a victory for the fans, you know, that all of them are going in. Well, Triple H, we know he was going in, so, I mean, there was no spoiler alert with that one. But still a worthy addition to the Hall of Fame. Even though he is my least favorite wrestler of all time. But that's beside the point. So I never want to see Baron Corbin and Braun Strowman fight ever. I mean, ever. I never want to see these guys ever fight again.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
But we know that's going to happen on Raw.
Same damn matches every damn Monday.
This Raw is going to happen. And the McMahons were saying, oh, we're in charge. We're gonna shake things up, and we're gonna produce new stars and all that stuff, which I guess we'll get into that in a few minutes. Wrapping that up, Ruby Riott, she lost to Ronda Rousey in like 2 minutes, and then she lost to her again on Raw in a rematch. And I mean, this is the problem with Ronda Rousey. I mean, she's a Super Saiyan wrestler, man. It's like she's a Super Saiyan God, man. Like, you can't stop her. That's why they put
like
the title on her.
Female version of Lesnar.
She is. That's exactly what she is, and that's the problem. I said that from, if you watched this show, when they were giving her the title shot, like, earlier last year, I was saying, like, they should have made her go on the hunt. Don't give her a title opportunity. The road to WrestleMania right now should have been the time when she's getting her title shot. Because she would have been hungry. She would have been decimating people like Goldberg did in 98, you know, in 97, like destroying people, and then he got the opportunity and finally won it. There would have been a buildup, you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, she's like Rey from the Star Wars sequel trilogy. She has no equal. She has no threat to her. She's super powerful, you know. Now she doesn't have an equal, you know. Ruby Riott would have been a threat to her. Sonya Deville could have been a threat to her. I'm trying to think. Obviously, Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch are the only two ladies who could possibly defeat her. But there could have been a handful of ladies that you could count on one hand that could potentially give her a run for her money or be her nemesis, which I'm hoping Becky Lynch will be at WrestleMania once they officially reinstate her from the suspension. But, yeah, WWE should have played their hand a little bit more. They should have made her chase the title.
Yeah.
You know, she would have been, you know, it would have been an epic victory for her. Similar to somebody I'm going to talk about in like a minute or two. Let's see. Yeah, I guess those are all the matches, except I guess I'll just dive right into it. Kofi Kingston. You know, that's the way it's long overdue that Kofi Kingston gets a title shot. I mean, he fought an awesome match at Elimination Chamber, but unfortunately, Daniel Bryan, you know, he beat the odds and came out as champion, unfortunately, as I wanted to. And if you know, if you watch this show or listen to this show, you know I'm a huge Daniel Bryan fan prior to this heel turn. But I was really rooting for Kofi to win, man, because that match he did on SmackDown, like, that was impressive. That even in losing effort in that gauntlet match, you know, that guy, he really showed, you know, what a talented dude he is. I mean, for the past 11 years, you know, this guy's been, you know, been working hard every year, man. And the last time he had a title shot was when he had that feud with Randy Orton, like, about 10 years ago. And I think you were at that match at MSG.
Oh, yeah. That was a great match.
Yeah, like, when he did the boom, boom drop off the off Randy Orton through the table.
Yep, I remember that.
And, yeah, ever since then, I think he botched a move, and Randy Orton called him stupid, and like, on live TV, and that basically killed his push up until now. So here's the million-dollar question. Will Kofi Kingston win the title and headline WrestleMania? Well, my answer is yes and no. Should he be a main eventer? Absolutely. Everybody was rooting for him at the Elimination Chamber, not to mention the Gauntlet match. He's always been a fan favorite, even before he joined New Day. But the problem is that basically he just took the spot of Mustafa Ali. So basically Mustafa Ali would have been the last person standing against Daniel Bryan at the match. But what WWE didn't anticipate is that how over Kofi Kingston would have been with the fans. Like, the fans were at the edge of their seats, me included. You know, like, I was really pulling for him to win, even though I had a bad feeling that he would lose the match due to outside interference by Luke Harper, but that hasn't happened. And yet, I should say, because unfortunately, the rumor is that they don't know who's going to be defending the title against Daniel Bryan, spoiler alert, at WrestleMania. So most likely he's going to lose this title opportunity, and he's going to face a returning Kevin Owens, or I'm trying to think who else, the possible, maybe even Bray Wyatt. If the WWE universe is loud enough, maybe Kofi Kingston will get one more shot, because Kofi Kingston has earned that opportunity to face, you know, Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. And congratulations to him. He is going to face Daniel Bryan at Fastlane. But the question is, will they finally put the title on him? This year, will they put the title on him at Fastlane? And if not, will he face off against Daniel Bryan for the title one last time at WrestleMania? And unfortunately, as much as I want to see it happen, I don't think, as of right now, I don't think they're going to put the title on Kofi at Fastlane. and most likely not WrestleMania, because history has shown WWE is hesitant to make historic and bold moves like this. What are your thoughts?
Well, Kofi, you know, it's been a long time coming, man. This guy has been in the game for a decade. And like you said, you know, 10 years ago he had that title shot against Randy Orton. It was a pushback because of that botch move against Randy. And then Randy calling him stupid. But I was glad to see that he got his redemption on this past SmackDown when he called Randy Orton stupid. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, yeah. Not to mention he eliminated Orton in the Elimination Chamber to face off against Daniel Bryan.
Yep.
In the finals. So that's another redemption story for him.
Yeah, and the match at Elimination Chamber was great. I mean, this guy definitely deserves another title shot. And, you know, having him win it at WrestleMania, I mean, would be even better. I think it's time for him to get a major push again, man. It's well deserved.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think they should totally make him. I mean, as much as I want to see him win at Fastlane, they should probably have Luke Harper interfere and cost him the match, even though I hate seeing it, and then give him the title shot opportunity at WrestleMania. Because hey, he's right at the last stop before WrestleMania. Might as well make him win that title at WrestleMania. The arena would just, well, the MetLife Stadium, I mean, it's usually roofless, but it would just blow the roof off the place if they did that. So they should totally do that, but I don't see it happening. Anything you want to say quickly before we go?
Check out my show Saturdays here on Block Talk Radio at 10 and come back here, check out Sports Room Legend, only on Block Talk Radio.
You're the guy. Check out Sports Room Legend every Saturdays at 11. Check out my YouTube channel, Sports Room Legend TV, and check out iMac every Saturdays at 10. I'm William Ramo. This is Macaulay Matthew, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace.